It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Late Night Drive. My name is Ellie Schnitz.
And I'm Michaela Oakland.
And we are just overjoyed to have you here in our car tonight. It's actually a very late night drive tonight. One of us is, for me anyways, and she's a little sleepy and had some wine, to be honest.
Yeah, it's 8:30 Ellie time and an hour and a half past Bonky. And for Michaela, it's an hour and a half. No, it's an hour and a half past Bonky for me. For you, yes, it's 30 minutes before double Bonky.
It's 30 past double Bonky.
Oh my God. It's 30 past double Bonky.
It's late. Yeah, it's really Ellie's bedtime if you really think about it. But I'm here and we're here. And you know why? Because we love you.
And we have such fun things to talk about tonight.
It's such a fun day for the day. And it's impossible to say. But we are driving through the desert today because it's Passover. And, you know,
that's nice.
The Jews had to wander through the desert, for 40 days and sort of 40 nights, which is actually very funny because if you look at a map and you look at like the path that they traveled, don't know how it took them 40 days unless they were literally walking in circles. It's a kind of a quick walk, to be honest. It's like 5 days maximum to get there and back.
You know, I feel like that's how all of my family's stories change over time, though. It's like, that took us an hour. And then a couple of years later, it was like, remember that project that took us 3 hours? And then, you know, it happens.
Oh, my God. Remember we were there for 3 whole days?
Remember we were there for 40 days and 40 nights?
And that's how 40 Days and 40 Nights was born, because the trip just could not have possibly been that long. The desert is just not that big, that desert.
That's so interesting.
anyways, I just went out for dinner with my mom and Julianne for a little Passover meal. And I don't know how many of you are Jewish. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Passover as a concept. But written into this, like the Seder, the meal, like, you have to drink 2 whole glasses of wine before you're allowed to eat.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
What if someone is like sober?
Then in theory, they'll just have grape juice. When I was a kid, we were only allowed to have grape juice.
That makes sense.
Except for 1 year where my mom, we ran out of grape juice. And so my mom was like, here, you can have this like 2% sparkling wine.
You probably couldn't.
Wasted at the age of 12. Yeah, certainly still alcohol.
Also,
certainly.
I'm imagining how tiny you must have been, just given how tiny you are now.
Yeah, shout out Gabby Shankerman. Me and Gabby Shankerman got wasted at that Seder at the age of 12, maybe 13. But yes, it's like written in that like you kind of have to drink on an empty stomach. You're supposed to drink 4 throughout the entire meal, 1 with the meal and 1 with the afikom and with dessert. But the first 2 on a fully empty stomach, like a piece of parsley dipped in salt water. It's bad.
That is so funny.
I don't know why they wrote it like that. It's like, get fucked up.
Well, then Jesus turned water into wine too. So like, I think it was maybe alcohol is really sacred in a lot of religious history.
And this is a question that I have, because I feel like back in the day, like, you couldn't really drink water.
Well, that's true. Wait, no, yeah, yeah. Because of the founding fathers
really
and whatnot.
Polluted, and the founding fathers.
They were all...
Well, what?
They were all... They weren't drinking real water. They were just, like, drunk all the time when they were writing all the stuff.
and it shows. But because the water, like, people were just dumping waste in the water and just, like, didn't really know. And so, like, people drank wine because, like, it was fermented and alcohol is more, like, purifying. So they, like, wouldn't get as sick. So people were eating, like, drinking, like, beer and wine more than they drink water. So I feel like it made more sense to write it into, like, a religious ceremony that, like, oh, you're going to have these glasses of wine because that's what people drink. As opposed to, like, we want you to get fucking lit. Celebration! Woo! Well, Mazel tov!
Also, if you consider how people feel like when they do a lot of drugs on a spiritual journey, it kind of makes sense if you go back and people experience alcohol for the first time that they would think like this was given to us by God. Like,
they're like, this is lit. Dude.
This doesn't make any sense in the material plane. This has to be from some kind of extraterrestrial. This is a sacred thing.
There's no other reason that we would be given this if not to have a religious experience. Yeah. Passover is also funny because it's also written into the ceremony that you're supposed to lean on pillows and like wear comfy pants. Like,
that's
like,
nice.
Literally. So people think like the Last Supper. Literally. People think like the Last Supper was like actually a Passover Seder. Like, probably. Because of the way that they're like leaned over in a lot of like the whatever. But I just always thought that was funny. It's like, get drunk. Eat a huge meal, lay down the whole time. At one point, the children have to go on a scavenger hunt. Like, I think it's the best holiday.
That's such a good vibe.
So fun. Also, you like talk about the plagues. The plagues are fun.
I love
the Prince of Egypt
plagues.
Confirmed one of the best movies ever made.
Remember we watched that last time I visited you.
You did.
The songs in it are so good. Oh,
they're heartwarming. And yeah, I just really love it.
Is it one night?
No, it's like 10. It's long.
Was this the last night or the first night?
This was the first night. Okay. I think there's only 3 nights of seders, but then you're supposed to not eat leavened bread for like 10 days because of the suffering.
Sorry. I like that that's just like, of course, the logical conclusion.
The suffering. Passover is a lot about suffering. It's like the Jews suffered. Also, we got to pour one out because the Egyptians suffered when there were plagues. At one point, you're supposed to dip your pinky in the wine glass and put 10 drops of wine on your plate for all the plagues that represent your tears for their suffering.
Oh, that's nice of them to
it
do.
It is nice, but I always thought that was kind of funny. So it's like, literally, you could spare 10
Here's one
drops
for the maggots.
Of wine. It's like kind of funny. And yeah, it really is a really fun holiday if you ever have an opportunity to go to a Seder. But just know, like, depending on how religious the family is, it can be long. Our family was not that religious, but we used to go to a Seder at a very religious person's house. And we would be there for like 5 hours. And Whoa. You weren't allowed to eat.
You weren't allowed to eat.
You couldn't eat. You just had to drink the wine. And you could eat parsley and matzah.
I don't think, and you know what, correct me if I'm wrong, people out there, I don't think Christianity has any holidays where you don't eat, but I know that that's like a very popular, well, there's like Lent where you give something up, but I know that there's a lot of religions.
Yeah, fasting's not a big part of Christianity.
But it's a big part of a lot of religions, so that's why it's surprising to me.
I think there's something like suffering and purification with the idea of like giving up like something. I don't really know. Like, yeah, we do fasting on Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to eat, sort of. There's a lot of loopholes, but you're like kind of not supposed to eat. And that's another one where at the end of that day, there's a big feast. Like, there's a break fast when the sun goes down, and usually people drink like right away. And like, you just get wasted on that one. A lot of Jewish holidays revolve around like eating and getting drunk and like the suffering of it all.
Well, at least like you do something fun because of the suffering. You don't, you know, like they don't make you walk through the desert for 40 days and 40 nights.
No,
they're,
I've
like,
never
pour one out.
Walked through a desert, to be honest.
I lived in Arizona for a while, so.
That's crazy. Yeah, I've never even seen a desert, I don't think.
Really?
I sort of can conceptualize what a desert looks like.
Totally,
but also,
yeah.
Like, I think if I saw that much sand, I would be like, what the fuck, you know? Like, I would be really upset about it.
I think it could potentially stress you out.
Really see it stressing me out.
In, like, the opposite way of how you don't like rooms that are hard to get out of, like, deserts also sort of feel like you can't get out. Like, you don't see a door. Like, there's no civilization in sight. I feel like it could maybe be like that for you.
No, I do have like this fear of getting like lost in a desert, and like I would never be in one. I've never been in one in my whole 27, almost 28 years of life. But in my head, I'm like, if I ever got trapped in a desert, like that's it. You know, there's what would I saw? I would see a fucking mirage, think it was an oasis, and act the fool because I thought there was water. No, no water.
You know, it would take you a while to get to that point.
I don't know. I think it would take me 3 hours.
Yeah. Well. I think
I'm kind of weak. I really am not hardy. I think about that sometimes, like when people like, okay, like, you know, the story of that girl who fell out of a plane.
No.
And then, okay, there was like a really bad plane crash.
Recently?
Like lightning hit the plane. We talked about this. Okay. This
Amelia
girl.
Earhart?
No.
Okay.
This girl was on a flight over like the Andes or something, the rainforest. Anyways, the plane went down. She like was on her seat and it like. Torpedoed down into the forest or the fucking rainforest. She hit the canopy, whatever. She like broke her collarbone but like survived, and then she trekked through the rainforest for days, and then she like found a tribe who was living there and they helped her like find civilization.
We talked about this.
We in fact did talk about this. But I always think about things like that where I'm like, if something like that happened to me, like I love to think I have some like hardy spirit that I would keep going, but I don't. I would be like, this is it for me. Friends.
I mean, okay, I do. That is my initial thought. But then I also think humans actually are very good and quick at adapting to things that we think we maybe wouldn't be able to adapt to. And I feel like there's potential there. Like, definitely less for some of us than others. But I do think we have more ability to like make circumstances work than we feel we do.
I just don't think I would do like the tough things. Like there's an episode of Better Call Saul where he gets lost in the desert and has to wander out of the New Mexico desert for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And or it might not, I don't know, it was a long time he was in the desert, and he ran out of water and he drank, you know,
Bear Grylls. Yeah, Bear Grylls vibes.
Yeah.
Man versus Wild.
And he was so sunburned. He was in so much pain. And I remember, like, that I would watch that and we'd just be like, I don't think I would do it. I think I would say, no, I think that's it for me. If I get to a point where I'm supposed to be drinking my own pee, just kill me. I won't do that. I can't do it. It's not going to happen. It won't go down.
But the death that much. But the death won't be, like, that much better. You're still going to die really slowly.
Yeah, I'd rather, like, I don't know. If I knew for sure that I was going to make it, like, if I was, like, 100%, if I drink this pee right now, I will definitely make it out of the desert. Fine, I would do that if I knew I had 100% chance of survival. But it's, like, there's a good chance I'm just going to die anyways.
But you've never been that thirsty. You've never been, you don't know.
That's
that.
True. Maybe it looks juicy and delicious by that point.
Sorry, I regret saying that. Let's
maybe
move
it's
on.
It's like apple juice by that point. You just don't know.
Can I tell
but
you?
You're right. I've never been that thirsty. I really have never. So who knows? Who knows? And honestly, who knows? I've never been in like a real like life or death survival situation. I mean, I think I have. I think.
What?
But I like not like that. Like not in the wild.
Right.
Like, I feel like I've had life or death situations and I figured my way out of it.
Well, like
but
your
like,
appendix bursting, maybe.
Sure. I actually almost got kidnapped in college once.
What? Wait.
When I was a freshman, I was coming home really, really late at night from the to the dorms. And I got like dropped off like in a car. Like there were designated drivers that would drive everyone home from parties and stuff.
Yeah.
So I got dropped off in front of my dorm and I was walking up the stairs and there was like this like kind of like beat up scary car that like pulled up in front of the dorms. And this guy was like, hey, excuse me. Like, we were just looking for some directions. And
oh,
I was
no.
like, and I was like, I'm a nice, you know.
Oh, no, so like, Ellie, no.
I kind of stopped and was like, oh, where are you going? I'm kind of new to campus, so I don't really know where everything is. And they were like, I was like, oh, actually, like, could you just like come here? We like have a map.
Oh,
and
my
I like,
God.
Started walking towards them, and then my brain went, Ellie, maybe don't walk towards the car. And then I was like, well, where is it that you're going? And they were like, just come here. And I was like, no, I'm not. So I start like walking back up the stairs. I was like, no, I'm sorry. I don't really know where you're going. And they were like, get in. And they were like, get in the car, bitch. And like started yelling at me. And I'm like, I start like running up the stairs, and then they open the car door, and I like made it inside my dorm, thank God. And obviously there's like guards at the dorm and stuff. But I was really scared.
Oh my God,
I was, like,
Ellie.
Somebody like maybe almost killed me just then for some reason.
If they had just been like a little more patient and had given you the name of like a place that they wanted to go,
I would have gotten in the car probably. No, I wouldn't have gotten in the car, but no, I would have gotten you close probably. Enough that they could have grabbed me.
Ellie, that's so scary. What the
no,
fuck?
No, it's one of those things. I was like 18 and I don't think about it, but in retrospect I was really scared, and I like pushed a chair in front of my door at the dorm that night because I was really scared. I was really scared. And after that, every night that I would come home, I would like carry like something in my like my keys and my knuckle or something, and like zoom up the stairs because I was so scared.
I had like a big taser collection in college, especially. It was like definitely a more active fear of mine at that time.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think a college for me, obviously I was 18 and like had never really lived in like a place like that where there are people other than like people I grew up with, you know, like I had a pretty small town growing up actually. And so that just never crossed my mind. I also like am still kind of a person who it doesn't cross my mind that people have like negative intentions. So a lot of bad things like happened to me when I was a freshman in college just because I was like dumb and young and easy to trick. Like I just like wasn't thinking that anybody had bad intentions, and they did.
Well, I'm glad that you at the last minute got yourself out of that situation, but yeah, maybe you wouldn't last in the jungle.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. I thank God I had like some prickle of like something is not, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
you know?
No. Ask a man
shouting at me. I was like, oh my God.
Then it became so obvious, like what was going on.
The shouting was obvious.
The bitch.
But before that, I don't know. Yeah, it was sort of when they said bitch that I said, oh,
oh,
well, no.
Have you gone to a local library recently?
You know what? I have, because they were giving out eclipse glasses on eclipse day.
Oh my God, I have to tell you, I haven't been to one in so long, and I went last week, and the amenities shocked me. I was absolutely mind-boggled and blown away.
Lord.
You can rent so many things from them, and then I posted about it, and people were like, yeah, we have like a seed garden at my library, and you can rent a telescope from my local library, and like all these things. And you know what? It's the only thing that I can think of that our taxes are going to that we could actually go enjoy, so why don't we?
I don't know. I'm glad you're so pro-library on here.
Yeah.
Libraries, God, I love the public library in my hometown is so, so nice. And libraries are one of those things that if somebody pitched the idea of a library today, would never get built. Never.
Oh my
never,
God, no. No.
A place with free books. Like.
And my mom also uses her library card on this app called Libby. And then whenever she wants a book, she can just rent it, the audiobook, for free.
You can do it with Kindle books, too.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's
like,
crazy.
Why are we paying for books when you can get them for free?
Yeah, just try that first. It's hard for me, though, because I love to own things. I don't even like reading as much as I like owning things. But...
I loved our local library. It has like really good study rooms.
Exactly. You can rent out study rooms. This one had like, if you have a book club, they had these big boxes for all the book club materials, like 10 copies of the books and then like little notes about them. And you just like take the whole box with you. A bunch of like language learning stuff, huge children's section, like flashcards, news things, reference books. It also like sold some books for $1 or like $2, like a used book section. And I've never seen prices so low. There was music, there were DVDs and Blu-rays. Like, I know that's hard to use now. You can use the printers for free. Anyway, I'm going to move on.
Hey, but shout out the local library.
Shout out. And you know what section people might like in the library? The poetry department.
It depends. Are you aware of what metaphors are? Because a lot of people on Twitter seem unclear about the concept of a metaphor.
Ellie, I'm going to let you take this one away because...
You're going to leave the room and just kind of go on a little walk. I'll be talking for probably like 10 minutes. So if you don't want to hear about the tortured poets department...
Here's what I'll say.
You're welcome to skip this.
I love Taylor Swift. Always have. Hey, Steven, first song I learned how to play on guitar. I went to the Fearless Tour. I have.
As you should, queen.
Love for her. As I told you, first listen didn't hit immediately for me. I actually did like more songs on the second half than I liked on the first half. And there are a few that now I do love, but I can't say it's my favorite of hers. I'm not saying it changes my opinion of her or that I think it's bad. I just think it's maybe more for bigger fans.
I agree with you completely. I'm not offended by that at all.
Because I don't, well, I don't think it, I don't listen to it and think, oh my God, this is stupid. I think maybe this isn't for me.
You're normal.
And there are also things that, like, upon looking up, I was like, oh, I actually really like this concept, like the Albatross song. When I looked that up and, like, what it was based on, the Mariner poem or whatever, I was like, this is such a cool concept. Like, I had to take more time with some of the songs,
always.
Which I think people need to be willing to do. And I also think that, like, some of the really funny stuff people aren't recognizing as funny, and that's what I'll say.
And I'll say it, sometimes more often than not, people are just willing to assume a woman is stupid instead of thinking she might be making a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this album's really funny. Also, I've always thought she was funny. Like, she always has had lines that make me, like, laugh out loud. This one, definitely, she's a little unhinged on, and I actually really appreciate it. I really like the album. I don't know that it's, like, my favorite album, but who knows? With me, it could grow on me. I do think that this album is a grower and not a shower. Like, I think she's had albums that right away, first listen, you're like, this is unbelievable. And then I don't really listen to it after that. Like, I'll be honest, like, I don't pick up Midnights that often. I remember, like, my first listen of Midnights, I was like, this is the best fucking thing I've ever heard. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's so different for her. I'm so interested in the concept or whatever. There are songs on Midnights that I want to re-listen to, but I don't think, like, cohesively as an album, I, like, want to dive into it that often. Versus, like, this, I have a feeling it might be more of an album that I want to re-listen to, like, and think about and find new meanings in. And there's just the thing with Tortured Poets Department is there are so many goddamn songs.
Yes.
I, like, don't have a handle on it yet. Like, I don't have a handle on it yet. And that's me. Like, I'm a freak, you know? Like, I'm a loser. And I, like, don't have a handle on every song. I couldn't tell you what every song is about. Like, I don't know all the words yet, which normally, let's be for real, I kind of do. Because there's just too many. There's too many goddamn words. I'm working on it. And my first listen, I didn't wake up in the morning with anything stuck in my head, you know?
Yeah.
But the second day after I listened to it, then the brain worms began. Mm-hmm. Like, once I, like, gave it a second to marinate and my brain stopped going, well, what about this and this and this and this and this and what's going on? And then now I've definitely, like, understood things a little better. Some metaphors that I missed or didn't understand the first listen. Some melodies that I just didn't hear. Not that I didn't hear them the first listen, but I didn't pick them out and go, whoa. Because you're hearing everything at the same time. You're kind of like, I don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Also, I listened to the second half at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, I don't know, who the fuck is Cassandra? I was like, man, who the fuck is Marcus? Like, I was way too sleepy to, like, really understand it. Mind you, Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
That's my favorite, I think.
One of the most beautiful songs she's ever written.
Yeah, it, that one was my favorite.
Oh my God.
I think I texted you at, like, 1 a.m. my time about that song.
I'm sorry. You asked me, like, what my thoughts were. I think I sent you thoughts on every single song. I know you did not ask for that, but I was like, and I really like this one. And also, I think this and this is what's interesting. And
well, I wanted to ask you, like, what your favorites were, because I was like, okay, immediately this isn't hitting for me. And I don't know if I have it in me to, like, keep listening to all of these songs. It's too many over and over again. So I want to ask Ellie, like, what her favorites are, so I can maybe give those more attention and see if, like, I start to, you know, have more feelings about those specific songs. I do think it's something not a lot of artists can do, to make an album that people do really need to sit with because they care about the artist so much, to really, like, explore all of it. And I think that's cool that, like, a lot of it you can't, you don't get immediately. I think it's cool that like some things you have to really like even do your own research about, like, what did she mean with this? Because she's not going to tell you all outright that this is based on like some poem from 200 years ago and that's why it's significant. You know, luckily, because she has so many fans, that becomes clear they a little bit sooner. Yeah.
But there are even things that like we disagree on as fans. There are things where like there's a lot of like Emily Dickinson references in Evermore that are very subtle that like you wouldn't pick up unless you were very familiar with her work, which mm-hmm. I am pretty familiar with her work. And so like I picked up on it, but you wouldn't. It's not overt. It never beats you over the head. Mm-hmm. It just enhances your understanding of what you're listening to if you start to pick up on the really subtle things. And there will be things that years down the line I like hear a song and for the first time understand a lyric, or for first time go,
absolutely,
oh, that's the feeling she's referencing, that's mm-hmm. what she's talking about. And so I think what this has given us is such a range of emotion. And what I also think is really, really, there's a couple things, two things that I just really want to say about the album. The first thing I want to say is I think that part of why people gave Folklore such like hype, and even Evermore as well, and why people still talk about them like they're like so different for her, is not because the sound was so different, but it's because she said, this isn't about me. It's not autobiographical. Spoiler, it was. Mm-hmm. Like, spoiler, it absolutely was.
People didn't know Midnights was a breakup album, but it like turned out later on that it was. Yeah.
It's because we kind of like knew the context somewhat going into this. If she had said, I did it again, I wrote another album based on fictional things, there's a couple things from my life, but not really. If she said that, I think this album would be received differently.
No, it's too obvious. It's I feel like she separated so much. Is it so obvious much.
Or is it like,
this is so diary. We know it. Well, it's because we know her, but like,
when you listen to Folklore, if you didn't know, like, I know now so many of the things that, and even then I was able to pinpoint certain things that I was like, well, that is about her, even though she said it's not about her. And, yeah. I really think that like there is an aspect to which there are certain songs in the album that people would be like, that's such a good song if it wasn't about Matty Healy. Like,
oh, well, I experienced that.
I know.
Just
I know,
that a I lot would, of people. I would not be so like, with I love the I Can Fix Him, but starting out with like he's billowing smoke into your face and like his joke, like I was just like, oh, I don't know. And this is it just feels like something my 15-year-old friends who are dating 25-year-olds would have sung in high school. That's what it felt like for me. But I love the concept, and I love the like the way that she sings the No Really I Can. I think that's so funny, and it's like the I like when she does songs like that where, what's the one where it's sort of the we killed him song where she was like, we covered the body, killed the body, and
in Evermore?
It might be. It was like a couple albums ago, I think.
She thinks it's like I did sort it, but of, I just can't prove. Nobody, no crime.
Nobody, no crime. Yeah, it had that kind of, which I love when she does that kind of vibe.
She has a little switch up.
Yeah, like a little, yeah.
She does that in Thank You, Amy. Mind you, I want to say about Thank You, Amy.
That's
that
so funny.
I was so tired when I was listening for the first time. Not for a second did my dumbass register what letters were capitalized.
I registered like, the letters, but I didn't know who Kim was. I was like, okay, was it's like, saying
who's
Kim,
this about? But who I was like, I guess her Kim? High school bully? Like, did not register. Julianne did the same thing where she was like, yeah, who's Kim? Like,
I had to go to Twitter.
And then I was like, oh, duh. Am I fucking stupid? I really like that song. I think it's fun. And I like that it's like mean, but updated.
Can I say something that her album and Ariana's album did that I liked in both of them? That's kind of random. Yes. They used like these video game sounds to like make it feel more nostalgic. Like in the album, ooh, there the are
blinks.
These like,
we yeah, call
like
them
these
blinks.
Like arcade and like video, like all these little things where it's mm-hmm. like you feel like you're at another time because of it. And I thought that was cool because
sort of like digitally kind of sound.
Yeah,
I love that too. And the other thing that I wanted to say about the album is, just as being a Taylor Swift fan for a long time, I know that like she has struggled she struggled with like the way she like needs to be liked and needs to present herself in a mm-hmm. way that's likable. Like even with Reputation, the reason that reputation rang a little false was because even though she was saying, like, look what you made me do. This is why we can't have nice things. I'm a bad girl now. She wasn't willing to give up her image of, like, I'm a victim. I'm good.
Right.
I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't deserve this. Like, you fucked me up and now look what happens because you hurt me, but I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I think in this album, she's a little more willing to be like, actually, no, I lost my fuck damn mind. I made some really bad choices. I can be mean. I can be stupid. I can be crazy. I can hurt people. I've cheated in my mind. I've probably cheated physically. Like, she's a little more willing to just be like, yeah, I'm not, you don't fucking know me. I'm not a perfect person.
I think that's part of what makes people uncomfortable with this album is that she's like admitting to human things that are true of all of us. But people are like, oh, she's cringy for saying that. And it's like, well, yeah, but she knows that and she's still willing to admit it because it's a human thing and like you actually do relate to this, but it makes you uncomfortable to admit that.
I think also like, but that's what we like as Swifties and like people who have listened, like loved her forever, have always loved about her is that she says, when people say like Taylor Swift says things like no one else, it's not like wow Taylor, it's because she's really really willing to be really cringy and say the things that like you're thinking it, but you would never want anyone to know that you were thinking it.
Right.
Like, you would never want someone to know you were ever thinking the things that she is willing to put on that paper.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you feel seen. And some people don't want to feel seen in the way that's like, yes, I beg on my knees sometimes for someone to just want to be with me and not
leave. The Prophecy. I love that song.
The Prophecy makes me actually want to die.
Can I say my favorites?
Yeah.
Okay. Albatross. Chloe, Marcus, oh, wow. Sam. How do, what's the name? Chloe, Sam?
Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
Yeah, that one, The Prophecy, and So High School. I'm a So High School defender. I think that people are being so silly about stupid. It, like taking it out of context. Like,
it's literally called So High School.
I also think it's so sad that people are seeing it as like, oh, it's a simple song about like simple things because her relationship is simple and he's simple. It's like, no, it's so much deeper than like, this is the most pure feeling that I've seen. And like, it should feel easy. It shouldn't feel like so dramatic and like hard and like emotional to fall in love with someone. It should feel easy and like nice and so high school.
And I think that like she is somebody who, you know, she can buy herself anything. She can have every experience in the world and she does. Like what really I think is meaningful to her clearly is being on the couch with a boy that she likes, like at his house while his friends are playing video games. That's not an experience that she normally gets to have. She doesn't get to just like be a normal girl. She hasn't. I think this album also touches on the fact of some an uncomfortable truth that people kind of tend to overlook, which is like Taylor Swift was a child star, you know?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift had a career from the age of 14.
Yeah.
Like Taylor, she's pretty well adjusted, but like, yeah, clearly she struggles with alcoholism and suicidal ideation and like never having really properly grown up because she had like this stunted arrested development. Like it's just this is one of the first times she's ever said out loud like, yeah dude, like you literally would not last an hour in the circus that they fucking raised me in, because you wouldn't, like you would not last a minute in like the early 2000s when people were like, Taylor Swift gained 1 pound, is she pregnant?
Yeah. Like,
I love that song, by the way.
Oh my god, most people couldn't handle one viral tweet making fun of them.
No, they could not.
You have to, she had to become such a strong person to like withstand.
Yeah.
Just thinking about like on the smallest scale possible, like the first time something like I got made fun of on a scale bigger than like maybe 10 people, like that was so hard. And she had it happen like with such vitriol, and it's also like she can't go out and people don't recognize her to escape it. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's rough.
No, and I think like I would be bitter about it, you know, if I was her. I don't know. I just think that this was a real, it's very honest. And I think it's for people who love her and like want to listen to what she has to say. And I also think it's just interesting. Like lyrically, the concepts are really interesting. And I just, I'm really happy. I'm just like glad to have it. And as always happens with Taylor Swift albums, it never hurts me in the way that I think it will. And it always heals me in a way that I think it won't.
Aww. Aw, that's really beautiful.
Because like, I expected to cry. You know, I expected to be like pretty upset because it's like I was like ostensibly it's a breakup album.
Right. And that was something that you were like, oh, I'm going to feel so much from this album specifically in these ways because I had a breakup recently as well.
Yeah. And then I felt so much, but not in the ways I expected to. Mm-hmm. And there is something I think really comforting about the fact that like she was clearly having a fucking mental breakdown, potentially had to be hospitalized for some sort of mental breakdown, depending on how you want to read the lyrics. But look, like, she's, look at her now, you know?
She's so
like,
happy.
She's fine. Like, she's happy. She had, like, this unbelievable career highs, and she met Travis, and she's happy. You know, it's like, it takes the sting out a little bit to be like, okay, she's fine, so, you know, I'm fine. I'll be fine.
Yeah, that was something you said to me was, like, it's easier to listen to this album knowing that she's okay now, like... It makes the painful songs. It's like, it's so relatable, but it also is like, she felt that and now she's okay. So even if I'm feeling something that bad, like I could be okay soon too.
Yes. And it's always also that thing of like, she says the things you don't want to say out loud. She says these like cringy statements that you've thought. And it is actually really freeing to hear someone say it because then you're like, there's a moment of oof, you know, there's a moment of like, I wish she didn't say that one because I was thinking that. And then you go, oh, if Taylor Swift felt this and put it in a lyric, she must have thought other people would relate to this. So I'm not the only person in the world who had that thought. And okay, all right, I'm fine. You know, like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
Like the entirety of Down Bad, I was like, okay. Well, she didn't have to write that one. She did not, but.
Well, I'm glad you were really happy with it because I can tell.
Well, fun fact, yeah. I was always going to be happy with it. She could get on that. She truly could release an album that is like 5 hours of her standing in front of a microphone, banging a tambourine and screaming Yoko Ono style. I'd be like.
You'd be like, I'm going to learn Morse code just in case there's something else to it.
Dead ass, and I would. I'd be like, that's my girl. She's having fun up there.
Well, what made you saddest?
What made me saddest? Peter, weirdly.
Oh, interesting. The like never growing up themes?
The idea of like, I told you I would wait, but I couldn't, and... You said you were going to come back for me and you didn't, but that time passed for us. That made me really sad. And actually, it's like a surprisingly fresh Peter Pan metaphor, which I feel like there's been obviously a lot throughout time. Mm-hmm.
Peter Pan syndrome songs.
Which is like,
yeah. We talked about that Peter Pan last week.
Yeah, I'm dead ass.
We literally.
She wasn't gonna put it on the album, and then she listened to our podcast.
Yeah,
and she was like, "Oh, Ellie needs this one."
Exactly what happened. Yeah, I liked that too. I also feel like so many people, when they're going through a breakup in the beginning, they do have to tell themselves like, "Well, we might get back together. Maybe the timing isn't right. Like, maybe we have to end it right now. But like in a year, we'll come." I've told myself that so many times, and I've even like affirmed friends when they've said it about breakups because I'm like, I'm not gonna take that from them. I'm gonna say, yeah, maybe you will. If that person is meant to be for you, it'll come back. And we can all relate to that feeling. And then, like, once we get to the point where we're like, oh, actually, like, I was lying to myself about that to get through this.
Yeah, I think there's been a billion times in the last couple months that I've said to myself, maybe he'll grow up and then he'll realize that.
Realize how stupid he was, yeah. And I'll forgive him because I'm a magnanimous, lovely young woman.
I'm a beautiful, because I'm Wendy at the end of the day. Mm.
What did Wendy do? She left him, right?
She left.
Yeah, good for Wendy. That was
what about Wendy? If you like that song, you should listen to Wendy by Maisie Peters because it's like from the opposite sort of same perspective but different. And that fucking song is sad. But yeah, that song really made me sad. And then that's the one that made me sad for me.
Mm-hmm.
The song that made me sad for Taylor is, I think, How Did It End, actually. or So Long London. People were saying, it's not a track five. I'm like, did we listen to the same fucking song? Did you hear So Long London? What are we talking about right now? The way that she just had this like deep, she was lonely, she was alone. I'm pissed off I let you take all that youth for free.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Oh, sad.
Which one do you think that one's about?
Joe.
Okay.
That's a Joe. That's.
Do Swifties have a way of like finding out for sure?
We know. We know. She also tends to use like certain symbolism for certain men.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know all the lyrics, which I do, you're kind of able to connect. Like I have a encyclopedic knowledge of every Taylor Swift song ever written. So like.
Wait, I had a question. There was like a lyric about so red like maroon that calls back to maroon.
Maroon.
What was and the purpose of thinking, that?
Because now people are thinking that Maroon is actually about Maddie.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
The other interesting thing about Maddie is like I didn't know, and I think a lot of us didn't know, that they had this like
off
again, I'll wait for you relationship.
I weirdly knew that because someone that I know toured with him and he like spoke ill of her.
Why didn't you tell me?
I don't know. I guess.
Well, you know what? I would have been called crazy if I was like talking about those theories. But there's a lot of songs that now, and the line in the Tortured Poets Department, like this, the titular song, the eponymous song, where she says, you took my ring off my middle finger and put it on the one that people wear engagement rings on, and yeah, that's the closest I've come.
Was that
let me at him.
Okay, because I actually couldn't tell if that was a sweet line when I saw it out of context or a sad line.
No, I think it's sad because it's talking about because she mentions later in a different song about how she took the like sort of the magical move on pill, but it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I think that like she was in this sort of languishing relationship for so long, and then she finally, after years of pining and this and that, finally they get to be together, and he's feeding her these. You know, he's kind of, I think,
love bombing.
I think they both took advantage of the fact that she was very clear about wanting marriage and wanting kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of like strung her along in that way.
Oh, that's a really interesting way of looking at it. Like maybe he literally put the ring on her ring, but also maybe he like sold her the idea of marriage without like.
Yeah. I think it was a lot of like, no, we're going to get married and we're going to have babies and it's us, baby.
Yeah.
Finally, that thing that you've wanted and you've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. It didn't work with him, but it's me. It'll work with me.
Yeah.
And I think she just, she needed to believe that after wasting 6 years of her youth mm-hmm. on somebody else. Like, I think that it's fucked. That was fucked. So,
'cause she
let me at him.
She does want to get married, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. Very, very, very clearly
mm-hmm.
has always wanted fairy tale wedding, babies, and picket fence. Like, that's who Taylor Swift is.
Okay, question. Why are people saying she admitted to cheating on him when she... Because didn't she just, like, say she thought about it or something?
Well, so... okay. So in Guilty as Sin, she talks about cheating in her head.
Okay.
Which... fine. The thing is, like, throughout her discography, she has certainly made certain allusions to cheating. So what we think is, now with the Maddie context, there are some songs that you're like, okay, like Bejeweled, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And when
not
I'm
Bejeweled
with the band,
actually being about Maddie Healy after the
he let
meme.
Her bejeweled. And when I'm with the band, they ask, do you have a man? I can still say, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And then, do you really want to know where I was April 29th? Do you really want to tell them how he brought me back to life? High Infidelity. Like that whole song.
Wait, that's so funny. I love that she would like admit to that. That's like... That's really funny.
We've always known. Even like things like illicit affairs. Don't call me kid. Don't call me baby. Like those are things that Maddie would definitely say.
Mm-hmm. I definitely.
You showed me colors you know I can't see with anyone else. And then in the Fortnite music video, there's like the colors when mm-hmm. they're talking to each other.
Well, I think now it's definitely certain with the context of this album that there are other songs about him that no one would have known were about him.
I think Suburban Legends is about him, and I think that that is also extra clarified by the fact that there's, I think it's on The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, that there's the, like, blink, 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 blink sound, and that's also in Suburban Legends.
Yeah.
It's the same, like, Christmas bell sound.
The sounds, yeah. That's so interesting.
Anyways, I literally could go through each and every lyric and explain to you how things connect, but I don't even know this album well enough yet to do it.
We'll do a part two.
So I don't even know how I'm going to do it. But, like, I am really happy overall, period, end of sentence. And also, like, I don't really care what song is about what man. Like, I like to figure it out on my first couple listens. Like, okay, mm-hmm. This is what I think it's about. And then that stuff doesn't matter as much to me. Like, I care more about, like, the storytelling and, like, what is it saying? Like, what's the point of the song, not who is it about?
And how does it make you feel?
And how does it make me feel? Yeah. I'm a star, after all. I do have to say I did something a little crazy.
I love that you did this. I personally love that you did this.
Here's the thing, and I want to say this, like, very clearly, which is that I am too big of, like, a fangirly at my absolute core to be somebody who has the amount of followers that I have. Like, I absolutely abuse my privilege of, like, being adjacent to a lot of people I'm a fan of.
Right.
Like, I'm not, like, a freak with it, but, like, I definitely, like, sometimes I'm a freak with it. So, Hassan, not Minaj.
Famously, that would be really Hassan funny. Minaj.
Hassan Piker on his stream on Friday night. I had this glorious Friday night where I was staying in and I was like, I don't have to talk to anybody. I'm just going to watch Hassan. I'm so sleepy, eepy. And then he starts talking mad shit about Taylor Swift.
Her or just the album? Her, like, her generally?
Both.
Oh my gosh.
And he starts pulling up all these lyrics that people were, like, making fun of on Twitter out of context, mm-hmm. and, like, laughing, like, actually laughing at them and being like, no, no, it's very deep. And no. I'm not joking, Mickey, like, I was screaming at the screen.
Did you have to exit out or did you keep watching?
I kept watching because I wanted to watch him play the video game that he's playing later, but
he's the only one you'd forgive.
And I still have a little, you know, there's a little pin in there. I'm, like, getting so upset because I was like, if you literally read one line past that, you would understand the context. If you literally looked at the title of that song, you would get that it was a joke. I was, yeah, actually getting so angry about it. And then he played, like, an AI cover that someone made that was, like, making fun of her, like, a joke. And he was like, this is on the album? Wow, that's so bad. And I was like, not even real. Like,
Ellie saying, just made an expression I've never seen from her ever. It was crazy. Oh my God, this is like your world's colliding in the worst way possible. Like, the worst way your worlds could collide.
I was so angry. Like, last time when Midnights came out, he watched the Anti-Hero music video. He was singing along.
He had a blast, positive, you know, points that time.
This was just mean. I was getting really upset. And then Swifties were getting upset with him in the chat. And then he would, like, make fun of the Swifties getting upset with him. And so then I was like, I can't say anything. I don't want him to get upset with me. You know, so I couldn't say anything. So what did my weird ass do? What did my psycho ass do?
Reached out to one of his friends.
He has a friend who does his podcast with him. And she's, like, a huge Swiftie. And I, like, am a fan of hers. And I had, like, DM'd her before about something else. I think she, like, liked one of my tweets. And I was like, you liked my tweet? Like, I'm a big fan, by the way. And she's like, oh, well, you're so cute, man. Whatever. And that was it. That's, like, the whole conversation. That's all the whole conversation that we've ever had in our whole lives. She did follow me, though. Okay? Like, she followed me after this. So we're
mutuals. Okay. Yeah, okay? Yeah.
But oof. I DM'd her and I said, OMFG. Please. I said, OMFG, please. I am watching Hassan's stream. He is being so mean about Taylor's lyrics right now. Please, you have to yell at him. I'm literally begging. Psycho. Like, I sent it and then I looked at it and was like, Well, I could have not sent that, but I was so upset. I was like, someone has to do something. I was like, I'm going to save every Swiftie in this chat right now by tattling.
I'm crying. It's so funny. That's so funny. Like, I could just tell you were in such a blind rage that you had, like, no thoughts in your head of being like, hey, person that I'm mutuals with, I'm like a big fan of your friend, but he's pissing me off in the Swiftie name right now. You have to stop this.
No, I said something must be done. This is the only way. This is the only way I can stop him. Someone has to find out that he's behaving in this manner. I DM'd her. And then I forgot that I had DM'd her, and she answered at like 1 a.m. when I was like already asleep. But she was like, oh my God, I know, you know, it really upsets me. He's so like belittling about it sometimes. Like sometimes it's not even worth arguing with him about it. And I was like, I know, like, it's really frustrating when your friends are like that. Like, I'm really normal. Oh my God,
now you're normal. Now you've come back down to like normal girl earth.
Like no exclamation points.
You're like, oh my God, my experiences are very similar to yours actually.
Yeah, we're actually like really similar. And like, I just think sometimes people would just really rather believe a woman is stupid than, you know, think she might be joking. Oh
yeah, hit her with some, you know, big feminism. Yeah.
Big feminism sort of points. And she was like, yeah. And it's just like, you know, people don't really understand the metaphors, or they don't look at the lyrics. And I was like, yeah, this is, and I sent her one of the tweets of people that were like, LOL, Taylor, you're not a fire, you're a person. And I was like, this is literally how people are reading the tweets. And she's like, haha. And then I said, and by the way, I used to host a show for Spotify where I did lyric analysis for Taylor Swift. So if you ever need backup, let me know. And she said, thanks. And I said, yeah.
Just throwing it out anyway, there. It, think of me.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I love you. Like,
collab with me.
But I, yeah, I was like super normal about it in the end, because I was like, how do I salvage the fact that I like really could not have been weirder if I tried? Because like, I didn't even think about it in the moment. I was like, she can get to a song. Like, I just like, wasn't even thinking about how fucking weird it was that I was like, I'm aware of all his friends, you know, like.
Right, like, hey, I know you're friends with this guy that I'm.
No, they do host a podcast together. So at least I'm not like a freak.
No, I don't think it's crazy. Well, okay, because like, imagine someone that you're mutuals with that you maybe like don't know well, but like you have followed them back, and like they DM you like something that you relate to, that like same thing, Taylor Swift, like Michaela's tweeting or said something mean about Taylor Swift on the podcast, you've got to say something to her. You wouldn't think it's that crazy. You would be like, you're
right. I would be like, oh my God, yeah, I'll defend our asses, babe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bestie.
Yeah.
I think it just made me feel weird because like I'm also a fan of hers. And it was like in that moment, I fully sacrificed.
Yeah.
Like in that moment, I was like, there's a chance I could actually like finagle my way into like having some kind of friendship with this person that I admire, and I am throwing it all away in this moment to be psychotic about both Taylor Swift and Hassan. It was like my fandom, my two like biggest fandoms collided in a really unfortunate way, and I just like, I well, became what's a girl someone to do? I'm not proud of, you know, but it turned out fine.
It was nice of her to respond.
Yes.
Thank God she responded. That was really sweet.
And agree with me, mind you.
Of course. And who could not? You were right.
But then you texted me today that she was on his stream and I couldn't watch because I was like with my mom and I was also working. But that she went on his stream to like talk about Taylor Swift. And I was like, I wonder.
Yeah. One of our listeners DM'd the podcast account and they were like, Ellie needs to know about this. And then I texted you and you're like, who said that? Who?
I was like, who in your life is also a Hassan fan? Are you cheating on me?
Just you, babe.
No, I was a little jelly, I'll be honest. But yeah, I was, yeah. And part of me was like, I wonder if she's going to be like, yeah, one of your weird ass fans snitched on you.
She would never say it like that. I actually have never watched a second of her before, but I don't think she would ever say it like that.
No, I don't know. It seems like a very nice, normal person. I just am a little ashamed of my fan behavior, but like also like it is what it is. I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. at my absolute fucking core, and I always have been, and I'm never going to be embarrassed to the fact that, like, I love what I love, okay? I love what I love.
And I think that there are ways that people could say, you know, maybe not my favorite album without being mean and, like, laughing and just so obviously not even, like, trying to get it.
It's, like, some of the stuff, too, like, laughing at, like, the "you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum where they raised me," like, laughing at that line, it's, like, yeah, like, on its head, that, of course, that looks kind of cringe out of context. But when you understand what she's
singing about. She didn't mean her literal house. She didn't mean her, like, the physical house.
She was a child star in the early 2000s.
Well, if, like, Britney said that they would get it, like, if.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's just, like, so silly to me. It's silly. It's silly. It's so goofy. Mm-hmm. But, yes, that was a low moment for me. But I think we recovered it. And. Yeah, we'll fucking see.
Yeah, and I've been careful not to like certain tweets due to my allegiance to you. So why can't people like Hassan? And I'll say
this. I have also been really careful not to like any tweets bashing Eternal Sunshine in this stand-em war situation, you know?
And I appreciate
I would never do that.
Yeah, that makes sense that now Ariana fans are going at Taylor because there was like a whole
yeah
that makes sense, and the timing, but they like each other. They're like,
they like each other, and I'm like, what we're not gonna do is pit two queens against each other.
It's still an exciting year, actually an exciting like couple months for music, like all of
and
the
for women.
Well, I'm happy. I was honestly nervous to even tell you it wasn't my favorite album, but you took it really well. No. And
I honestly think it's like weird when people off the, like, right away are like, it's my favorite album. I'm like, let it marinate, girl. Mm-hmm. Let it rest. Let it soak. Let it, you know, because there's 11 albums, there's 12 other, you know, like, you you can't like be like, this is my favorite album. It's like, you have no object permanence. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, sometimes fans do that, like, and I've seen this with artists on smaller scales too, just to like make the artist happy, because usually artists will be like, oh, if this is the most recent thing I've done, then I'm the most proud of it and it's the most me and I want my fans to like it the most. So then the fans will be like, this is my favorite thing you've ever done, because they like want the artist to be happy that they're saying that because they're such a big fan of them. And it's like a weird parasocial thing. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Of course I've seen it. But I just, for me personally, in the way that I like understand music, and particularly with Taylor Swift, like, I think there's a really big difference between like objective good and favorite, you know? Like, I know what I think her like actual best album is. I also know what I think her my actual favorite is, like, which is not the same as what I think her best album
is.
Can
I know?
You know? No. And I, well, because it changes like every day, but I think her, I truly believe her best album is Red. I really think it's her best album. I think
someone
it's just
ranks
the most,
that as the last album that I saw
and
recently.
Fucking they, crazy.
I don't know if you saw this tweet. It was on my timeline. Someone said like TTPD was their favorite and their least favorite was Red.
No taste. Sorry. No taste. Oh my God. I also lost my mind. I just need to share this. I'm in a Taylor Swift group chat, and if any of you are listening right now, like, I love you, but there are some really bad opinions in that group chat all the time, and it really pisses me off. And mostly, I'm able to, like, let it roll off my back. It doesn't really bother me that much. But on Taylor Swift release night, to be saying that a song is bad on release night, I actually had to remove myself because I sent a crazy message. Like,
wait, what did you say? Literally, please read it to us.
No, I'm not joking. This one of the girls in the chat who is a beautiful, intelligent, elegant woman, like, just like a really kind
good
of a tastemaker, yeah. Really someone that I would think of and go, wow, she knows what's going on, you know, just a cool person. She was like, wow, I can't imagine anybody ever liking So Long London, this is so bad. And I said, well, your name? I said, well, pretend her name is Kelly. I said, well, Kelly, you're fucking tasteless.
And then you left the chat? And then I said, wait, this release had you fighting demons, Ellie. Like, you.
And then I said, actually, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm removing myself from this group chat for the night because I can't be normal on Taylor Swift release night.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And then a girl from the chat like texted me on the side and was like, no, I'm glad you said that because why be negative on release night?
And I didn't text you anything negative on release night. What I said to you on release night was, oh my God, I love how cool her lower register is in a lot of these songs.
You did say that to me. And that was a good thing because I was clearly in a weird place. Like I was clearly in a really scary place. Like I was for like 24 full hours. Like I was a little crazy. It's kind of I would describe it as like when an animal has a baby and then sees the baby in danger. It like you just like lose all like you do not want to get yeah. near a mama bear. And like that was me. I was just ripping people's heads off. And mm-hmm. I like had to I did some crazy things and I do want to apologize to the person. I did later apologize to her, said I'm so sorry that I called you tasteless.
That isn't even that mean. That's honestly not that mean. And you know what? You had every right to do that. You're a Swiftie. You're just, allowed to like.
It was just so like bold.
Be a lot
I was like, okay,
that.
Well, you're tasteless. Like,
I know. It's like one thing to say, okay, didn't love that song. Like, I didn't really get into it. The lyrics didn't hit emotionally for me. Or like, I don't know, this felt like right. something she's already done before. And I don't know, just like a normal way of saying it than saying, I can't imagine anybody ever liking this song. No offense to that girl, but that's a little bit harsh.
I was getting really upset. I got really upset. So anyways, I'm feeling more normal now.
You are normal.
And I'm processing the album and I'm listening to it on shuffle because it's so goddamn long that if I listen to it not on shuffle, I'll never hear the end. So I think it's the best way to get a good feel for all the songs. And once I have a better feel for them, then I can talk about what my favorites are. But right now I'm just like,
totally,
you know, like,
totally.
They're all good.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think it's important to sit with it, to revisit, to really like look things up, to make sure you're actually reading the lyrics, you're not just listening. And even if you're not a huge Taylor Swift fan, I still feel like this is an interesting, worthwhile conversation. I was interested. I found myself very interested. It actually perked me up. I was in a dark place before we started recording and now I'm feeling just happy.
I'm really happy to hear that. I'm a little embarrassed. But you know, one thing about me and Taylor Swift, we are not afraid to admit really embarrassing behaviors.
You know, there's one thing that you said, though, about Ariana's album. Do you remember what you said about Ariana's album?
That it didn't seem like anything new.
Mm-hmm. That it sounded like a lot of her other stuff. Okay. And do you feel that maybe that comment is coming back to you in any way? Nope. Okay.
I think a lot of it samples folk, like her old work. And I think it's cool to have a big enough music catalog that you can just be like, I'm actually just going to sample myself. Because, you know, she did that on 1989. Oh, no, she did that on Midnights, where she sampled Out of the Woods. And I thought it was the coolest thing she ever did. She did it on a couple of these songs. Like she sampled Invisible String and Seven mm-hmm. and Dorothea, I think. I think that's really interesting. I understand the criticism that it didn't sound like anything new. It's kind of funny because I do think it sounds, it's different. Like, it's not, it's like Folklore and Midnight's had a baby.
And Lana Del Rey.
Well, it's if you listen to Midnight's, it's very Lana. But I do think it's more like Folklore, Evermore, and Midnight's had sex, and that's the sound that sort of came out. Except for So High School, which is like a brand new thing, and I wish that she did more songs like that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see like what that's going to look, because maybe that's like a little bit of a teaser of what's to come, you know? Because it feels a little out of place.
We have wanted her to do a fucking rock album since Red.
Oh my God, that'd be so cool. Is So High School kind of rock?
It's kind of like a 90s grunge.
It does. Yeah, it does feel like a song that you would have heard like a while ago, but like in a new way.
It's like, she's so high up above me. She's so lovely. It reminds me of that kind of song that would play at like the bar you worked at, you know, like during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved that song. I like it more the more I listen to it too.
I know, I've been singing it all day.
And that's one of the songs where I actually think it's not a bad thing that we know who she's talking about. Because, like, you went on the journey with her, so it's cute.
I'm so happy that Travi made it to the big game.
I love that AI song so much. I actually really do.
One step closer to Kelsey being my last name. I love Taylor Swift.
It's always lovely hearing someone talk about something that they love so much to talk about and, like, know so much about and gets them so excited and passionate. And that's why I think anyone would enjoy hearing you talk about Taylor Swift.
I want to do some lyric analysis and, like, write it out, but there's literally 1 billion songs.
Yeah.
So I won't be able to do it all at once, but I might be doing, like, 5 songs at a time on Substack. So
that's awesome. That's such a good idea. Should we pull over for a tarot card?
I would love to pull over for a tarot card. It's we gabbed. We had other things planned. Today,
so much more planned. We had a seatbelt check. We had a 30-point main topic. Yeah. No. And the thing is, I wasn't going to add much to the catch up because I was like, TTPD, it'll be at least 20 minutes. But then when we got to 40 minutes, I was like, we're not going to do.
We're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And I just kept saying, mind you. And we got to 45 minutes before I even told you the embarrassing thing that I did.
I know. I love that you did that, though. I don't actually think she's going to think you're crazy for that. Although it does probably change your dynamic from potentially being equals.
Maybe. I think not I too salvaged much. It by yeah. being like, I'm actually an expert in the field.
When you were like, I actually had a Spotify show.
I did.
And you did. It was amazing. It was so good.
Thank you. Thanks, queen.
Wish you had it right now.
Oh, God. I know. Everyone wishes I had it right now. I've gotten, like, literally a billion DMs being like, I wish we still had Taylor talk. Speaking of me being a fan, just wanted to give you guys an update. Remember I said there was somebody at VidCon, that was going to be VidCon that I'm like a big, oh my God. And I even had a date that I was going to tell you guys about, whatever. I'll tell you guys later. So I told you that there was someone at VidCon that I was a really big fan of and we're like, Jarvis knows him. He's not going to drop the ball this time. I literally texted him and I was like, Jarvis, you have 2 months. Put this in your calendar. Make this introduction for me. Okay. So our card this week is the Hanged Man. The Hanged Man is a really interesting card because it looks spooky scary, but it's basically about a shift in perspective. Like, think about it like laying on the edge of your bed upside down and, like, looking at your room upside down. Like, that's essentially what the Hanged Man is. It's the idea of, like, you need to look at something a little differently than you're looking at it. There needs to be some sort of perspective shift in your life.
People with the Taylor Swift album.
Maybe you're looking at something just not the way that you should be. Like, if something is causing you stress or pain, if you just, like, flipped your perspective a little bit, you might be able to understand it better or understand somebody else's perspective on it better.
Ooh, that's a good
and
one.
And so that's sort of my advice to you this week.
I love that. I want to sit with that for a second because I need to internalize that about things. There was, like, an easy response for that. And then I was like, actually, maybe I should challenge myself in a couple things that I don't want to and feel
queen. Yeah. I love to challenge.
So we would like to now take this moment to give a shout out to people that we really adore in this world, and we call them birthday pigs. Maybe you've heard of them. We got Jennifer, Chad, Biscuit, Zachary, Georgia, Flower Pig, Nathan, Maya, Katie, Curtis. And yeah, I did it backwards because if I do it in the same order every time, I just feel like then the same person's always first. And you know, yeah. I want to give you guys different moments in this journey. And that's, well, if you want to be one, you can go to patreon.com/LateNightDrivePod and join the $50 a month tier. And if you did, we would love it. But if you don't, $5 gets you so many episodes and all the ad-free episodes and multiple Scorned Women episodes and extra chats about our love lives that are maybe more personal and shouldn't be shared on main, things like that.
But thanks for listening to our little TTPD meeting, our meeting of this Department of Tortured Poets. We even had a poem that we were going to read this week, but I guess we won't. No, we'll be tortured next week. So we love you guys so very much, more than words are even possible to say. But yes, we love you very, 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 very much. As always, have a good day. Have a good night wherever you are. Whatever you're doing, hope it's a great one. And we will catch you on the very next drive.
Thank you for coming to Late Night Drive. We hope you enjoyed the drive. Mm-hmm. Thank
Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/LND.